Thank you. I will talk a little bit about Caring for Life through this in this morning's service, a little bit more tonight. If you're totally ignorant about the work of Caring for Life, grab me afterwards. There's some leaflets and DVDs and material in the entrance area. Take some, sign up for our prayer letter, and we're pleased to keep you in touch with all that's happening in Leeds. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who had a harvest to gather. And he told this parable. The harvest was ready. The time was right. The grapes were ripe. Harvest needed to be gathered. I don't know if you saw any of these programs on the telly recently about gathering the harvest. It amazes me that pea harvest is something that I just find quite fascinating. These peas are grown there and they're gathered and transported to the processing freezing plant within about an hour or less of them being picked. And this guy goes out into the field early in the morning, he gets a pod, and he sort of tastes a pea, a bit like the man from Del Monte, and then says, yes, we go. And then all these huge machines plough into the field and they gather this harvest just at the right time. Harvest time is crucial. It's crucial. Leave it another hour even in the pea fields, or certainly days if it comes to grain or grapes, and the harvest spoiled. It goes past its best. There's a sense of urgency about harvest. And here, the harvest was ready. And so the landowner went down to the place to hire help us to gather this harvest in. He'd grown the crop, he owned the crop, but he needed help to gather it in. It was something that was going to be a shared endeavour. And he hired men in the marketplace. He had a rough idea of how many he would need to gather in the harvest, based on his experience and expectations, and he would choose suitable workers. I don't know how he went about it. It reminds me of playground time. You know, when you used to line up and pick two teams to play football, and the weedy ones always got left till the last, didn't they? And whether it was this kind of scenario here for the landowner, he would choose some young, strong fellas. He might choose some older, wiser, experienced hands that would provide a balance to his harvesting team. But nevertheless, he picked a team and he agreed a wage for the day, and they were happy to go into the harvest field. As the day goes on, he realizes that he needs more workers. Maybe it's a bumper harvest crop. Maybe he'd heard the weather forecast and it was going to be wet the next day, or the harvest was likely to be spoiled. Whatever, he realized he had greater need, and so he returned to the marketplace, to the job centre as you might say, and hired in more men on the third, the sixth, the ninth hour. And even 1 hour before knock-off, he went back to the marketplace, and there were men standing there who hadn't worked all day. Why were they still there? I suppose that's the question to ask, isn't it? Were they work shy? Were they lazy? Had they had to travel a long way into town? Perhaps they were disabled in some way. Perhaps they weren't very strong or hadn't got much capability. Perhaps it was just some of the very older men. Whatever, there were still some there to be hired. And the farmer was focused on his harvest. He had a purpose. And he encouraged and invited them to join with him in gathering in this harvest, even at the last hour. And he promised to pay them what was right. And they agreed. The farmer had a purpose to complete the harvest. The culmination of a year's planning, preparation and investment. Everything hinged on getting the harvest in. but he needed workers to help him in this. He couldn't do it on his own. He needed others to engage with him, being involved in sharing the work of the harvest. Otherwise, this harvest was going to be lost, wasted, or spoiled. And at the end of the day, the landowner shared the blessing, the benefit, the bounty of this harvest with these co-workers. Work's a very important part of life, isn't it? We all grumble and groan about going to work, but you know, God made us to work, didn't he? It's important that we should work. I think we were made to work. It's quite clear that God didn't put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and provide two deck chairs and an umbrella and a nice cool drink. No, he put them in there to tend the garden, to work it, to look after it. We're meant to be creative, productive, purposeful in our lives, aren't we? And that reflects God's image in us. He's creative, isn't he? He's industrious. He's active. And we, like him, have that nature within us. Even Jesus, when he performed miracles, healing men who were blind or were lame, he didn't heal them to help them go on holiday. He healed them so that they could be part of society again, engaging in work, be productive in their lives, have a sense of fulfillment and purpose. So we're made to work. But we need to work as well, don't we? Food doesn't appear on the table from nowhere. It has to be grown and gathered. I suppose for many of us now, that's not part of our daily activity. But we need to work, don't we, just to eat. We need to work for our physical well-being and our mental health too. And work gives a good contrast to rest as well, doesn't it? If you're resting all the time, you look for something to do, don't you? But if you're working, then you enjoy the rest. So there's a big contrast between work and rest. And we see that, don't we? Even God took time out from his labours. He rested on the seventh day and appreciated all that he'd done. It's important. We enjoy rest better when we work. So we're made to work. We need to work. We should work, shouldn't we? Either paid or unpaid activity. Paul said that those who don't work or won't work shouldn't eat. Work means that we're self-supporting and self-respecting. Work's vital to our physical, mental and emotional well-being. We gain great dignity through work, through being engaged in some kind of meaningful activity to the extent that we're able and that there's opportunity afforded to us. We found at Caring for Life that it wasn't sufficient just to house homeless people. They needed something to do in the daytime, and that's why Crag House Farm is this hive of activity 5 days a week where those in our care come to engage in some kind of meaningful activity. When they come to the farm, they don't describe it as the club or the therapy. They describe it as coming to work. It's my job. I gather eggs, or I work in the greenhouse, or I look after the sheep and lambs, or I work in the wood workshop. It's described to them as work, and that gives them a real sense of purpose and well-being. There's something to get up for in the morning. There's something to achieve during the day. There's something to show for their time. It's really important to give people a sense of purpose and a sense of worth. And so we find that it's through work that they engage. And also, it avoids them getting into trouble as well. If you're busy, then, you know, the old saying, the devil finds work for idle hands to do, and it's true, isn't it? And so, very important, we feel, to find them something meaningful to do during the week. We shouldn't forget that there's some who can't work, but they'll still be hungry. Just like these at the end of the day. These guys that have been waiting all day would still be hungry at the end of the day. They still want a meal, wouldn't they? Just like those who've been working all day needed something to eat. And there are some who can't work. And God's heart is towards those who are unable to support themselves. And we have a responsibility as his people and as society to care for those who can't work. But picking up the parable again, comes to the end of the day, the harvest gathered in to the satisfaction of the landowner, and the most important part, the bit that everybody's been looking forward to, payday, pay time, when they'll receive their wages. I remember as a lad in the October half term going potato picking. I don't think anybody goes potato. I mean, that was, we used to describe it as potato picking holiday. That was the, that was it. It wasn't half term. That's what we did. And in those days, the harvester didn't go, we didn't ride on this big machine and sort of stand and pick the clods off and the potatoes like that. And it wasn't even one of these machines that was a conveyor belt that left all the potatoes in a nice row behind where they unearthed them. We had one of these gadgets that sort of flailed, some of you all the people know, it sort of flailed the potatoes and the soil, and there was a sort of 5 yard wide swath of all sorts, potatoes that were damaged and the whole potatoes, and you had to gather these potatoes up. But the end of the day was the best bit. Some spending money, and we look forward to being paid. Now, a suspicion that some of the older lads got more than some of us younger ones, because of course they were stronger and more productive. But the pay at the end of the day, that was what brought a sense of sweetness and satisfaction to all the grime and the grubbiness of the squalor of searching for these potatoes in the soil. So these men lined up for their pay. And the landowner instructed his steward to pay the last first and the first last. And of course, to the great surprise of those who'd only been hired on the 11th hour, they received a full day's wage. They thought, well, maybe I shan't get up early next morning. I don't know what they thought really, but they thought it was their lucky day, I guess. They received the full day's wage. They would have all that they needed to support their families, to buy a meal, whatever it might be. They received a full day's wage. And so you can imagine those that had been working all day thought, well, we're going to be in for a bonus here. We should get much more, having worked much longer through the heat of the day, the hardness of the task. Surely we should get extra. But they were just given a denarius, a day's wage. And they grumbled about the amount, didn't they? They grumbled and groused. Well, it was not their place, was it? They had agreed to that sum at the beginning of the day. And the landowner had gathered a good harvest, and he showed himself to be a generous employer. I suppose he could have paid everyone pro rata, couldn't he? And paid them accordingly, fraction of the day for those that worked only part of the time. But he chose to share his bounty and meet the daily needs of all the workers. He demonstrated a sense of social responsibility. I guess it was a social enterprise that he was running here, and he met everyone's need. How he used his wealth and his resources was completely his choice, his decision. And to those who responded to his invitation to come and work in his vineyard, well, they were given a share in all of the harvest. What do you think Jesus is telling us here about the kingdom of heaven? What's the nature of the kingdom of heaven that Jesus is trying to emphasize in this parable? Well, I'd like to use the word universal, meaning the same for everybody. And we'll have just three thoughts on this theme. The kingdom of heaven Jesus presents here is a universal, one-size-fits-all gospel. One Lord, one way, one heaven. The same for everybody. The same for everybody. The first thing we see is that there's a universal need. There's a universal need. Every one of us is the same. We all have the same needs. We all need to eat. Some of us eat more than we need, but all of us need to eat, don't we? We have the same universal need, but more than that, more significantly than that, we have a deeper need, don't we? There's a universal need that each man has, a spiritual need. Jesus said that man does not live or shall not live on bread alone, but by every word of my Father. Without bread we cannot live. Without Christ we shall not live eternally. I think most people have lost sight of this basic human need, this fundamental need that's within each one of us. Just as the majority have lost the focus on food production. Most people now don't produce their own food. You might have a bit of an allotment or a window box or whatever it might be. But most people are not engaged in food production. And because they're not, it loses its importance. It becomes just a matter of choice. It's so easy, isn't it, to pop down the supermarket and get anything any day of the year. There's no problem to meet our physical need because we're not engaged in it. And similarly, people have lost the relevance and the reality of their spiritual need. It's been replaced by an obsession with virtual reality. You know, the sort of celebrity culture where unrealistic expectations are given to people, the X Factor or whatever it might be, where people think that they can aspire to this wonderful life with very little effort or talent. Or, failing that, people revert to the virtual reality, the fantasy world within the internet. Of course, this is not real at all, is it? And all these things can never satisfy the deepest human need, which is spiritual. Jesus said that he's come to bring life, and life in all its fullness, to each one of us. To simply, to live, to really live, and not simply to exist. To make sense of life, to become whole, to fulfill our potential and our purpose, which is to live in relationship with God and to enjoy him forever. That's a universal need within humanity. And whenever we try to fulfill this need otherwise, we will never be satisfied. We'll never find that peace, that joy that we're looking for. Our need is met in receiving Jesus as our Saviour, in knowing the forgiveness of God, in being welcomed into his family. We have a universal need. Just as we need to eat, we need to receive Jesus as our Saviour. And then there's a universal invitation here. The landowner keeps going out, doesn't he? And gathering people in to work in his vineyard. And so we have a universal offer of salvation, invitation into the kingdom of heaven. It's made to all, at all ages and all stages of our lives, to all conditions of men. It's irrespective of our place in society. And just like this landowner who kept offering the invitation, firstly to those who were eager to respond, and later on to those who perhaps felt they'd been neglected. So the invitation went out. Come and work in the vineyard. And so the invitation goes on today. All they needed to do was to respond and say, yes, we'll come and work in your vineyard. When Jesus walked the earth, people asked him, what should we do? How should we respond to this invitation to be part of the kingdom of heaven? How can we work the works of God? What is the work of God? And Jesus said this, it's to believe in the one he has sent. That's how we respond to this universal invitation. We can't do anything of ourselves. We just need to trust in the one that God has sent, his only son. This invitation comes to all, doesn't it? Come to me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, follow me. It's an invitation without qualification. There's no prerequisites. Not like the landowner who would choose the best workers first. God's invitation is to all, isn't it? It's not come when you're good enough. It's not come when you've got time. It's not come when you're old enough. It's not come while you're young. It's not come when you understand. It's come now, while there's an opportunity. Come to me. Believe in me. Trust in me. You know, there might be some that have been as these workers, standing all day, waiting for the invitation to come. And we have a responsibility too, don't we? As those who have accepted this invitation and follow Jesus, we have a responsibility also to give the invitation, haven't we? I wonder, how good are we at giving the invitation? How good are we at sharing this good news, of inviting people to enjoy the kingdom of God? I wonder if people could level the accusation at us. Well, you never asked. You never asked. Sad, wouldn't it be? People get to the end of their lives and they've never been asked, never been invited into God's kingdom, never been invited to enjoy the benefit and blessing of being one of God's family. It's a big responsibility, isn't it, for us to share this gospel, to keep going through the day, to the very last hour. It's never too late. We're in the days of God's grace. The invitation still stands. Will we make it? Will we offer it? Will we give it? Maybe there's someone here today who needs to respond to that invitation. It's a universal invitation, but it's backed by a universal grace as well. Whoever believes and accepts this offer of an invitation will be saved completely. We're all saved the same. We're all saved completely from our sin, and we're all saved to enjoy an eternity with heaven. It's sort of a first class ticket for everybody. There's no second class Christians. We're all the same. It's a universal grace to be received. Just as the workers receive the same wage, so we receive the same salvation, the same eternal life, the same blessings and benefits from our God. Rather mischievously, someone asked John Wesley if he would see George Whitefield in heaven. This is because although they were mighty evangelists, they had some slight disagreements doctrinally. And John Wesley said, rather mischievously, "No, I don't think I shall see George Whitefield in heaven." Oh. And he said, "Why is that?" He said, "Well, he'll be a lot nearer the front than I will be." It's true, isn't it? I don't know what it's going to be like in heaven. It'll be glorious, won't it? I don't think there'll be a case of, well, we're at the back and they're at the front. God will be there, won't he? Completely. And we'll be in God and with God. There'll be no sense of being out of place or out of touch or out of reach. That's a wonder. That's the wonder of God's universal grace. It's going to be for all to enjoy completely for all eternity. It's amazing also to see that God here takes the initiative. It's the landowner that took the initiative in this story. He had a harvest to reap, to gather in. And he took the initiative to invite people to join in this activity, to share in the benefits of this harvest. And so it is with God's grace. He makes all the running, just like the landowner. He has a heaven to share. He takes all the initiative. He's taken the first step. He's come to us. He's offered himself to us. He's come to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he invites us to join him, to receive his eternal life. God's generous beyond our expectations. Grace is something that we can't demand. It's something that we can't earn. But it's something that God desires and delights in giving. The whole plan of salvation is an act of his generosity and kindness. His grace. A single price has been paid. a single gift is made. Jesus' life for ours, his work for our reward. Eternal life, the same for everyone. It's a universal grace. So what's our response to all this morning? What, if we're one of the workers, which one are we like? Are we like maybe those that have been waiting around all day? I wonder if there's someone here this morning who's never been offered the invitation that Jesus gives to come to him, to be forgiven of your sins, to know eternal life and God as your Heavenly Father. It's not too late. It's not too late to come and enjoy all that he has to offer. Or maybe, if we're fortunate, we are those who have come to a knowledge of God in our early years, perhaps as children. We're the fortunate ones. But we need to be careful that we're not bearing a grudge like these workers who worked in the heat of the day. We shouldn't begrudge those who arrive in God's kingdom much later in life than we. Aren't we the fortunate ones to have enjoyed God's presence and blessing in our lives, a relationship with him through our whole lives, through the burden of the day, through the heat of the day, through the trials and struggles that everyone experiences? Aren't we the ones to have been blessed with his presence all of our lives, rather than living hopelessly for so long? And you know, for those who have been given so much time, so much opportunity to serve him, to live for him, much is expected, isn't it? Much is expected of us. It's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to serve him for as long as he's given us. But maybe, finally, there are those who feel that you can't do much in response to God's grace. Maybe you feel like these workers that were left to the very last, the ones who perhaps couldn't contribute much to the gathering in of the harvest. Well, you know, God doesn't love you any less. He loves you just the same. You're precious to him. He died for you, just like he died for me. The same price was paid and the same heaven will be enjoyed. God wants us all in his family. He wants us all to enjoy the eternal life that he has bought for us at such great cost. So this harvest time, let's be really thankful to God for all his goodness to us. We're reminded here, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who had this vineyard, who wanted to gather the harvest in. The kingdom of heaven. Are you in or are you out?